This is Matt Wells at UN News. How do you go about making it possible to use an unlicensed vaccine to combat the deadly Ebola disease? That's just one of the tasks facing global health regulators who've had their work cut out this week in discussions on everything from the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, to tackling the worldwide spread of fake drugs. Speaking to UN News, Dr. Emer Cook from the World Health Organization, WHO, explains to Michelle Kasuma how regulators play a vital role in strengthening global collaboration and ensuring patient safety.
So WHO has been working very closely with the regulators in DRC and also in other potentially affected countries to try and make sure that we are as prepared as we can for this emergency and any other emergency. At the moment, the vaccine that is being used is an unlicensed vaccine, but we have been working on putting a framework in place to allow provision of this vaccine under benefit risk assessment to other affected countries. So we're doing quite a lot of work, particularly with a group called the African Vaccines Regulatory Forum. We've been working on the regulatory information on the vaccine, also on the procedures that need to be put in place to enable this to be accessed.
What is the procedure? What is the regulatory process?
Most countries have a provision for emergency use of products when there is a public health emergency. But it's not always streamlined. You may need ethical review, specific import or export provisions. It's a work in progress.
It's also a very difficult vaccine to transport. It has to be kept at minus 80 degrees Celsius. Is there going to be an easier vaccine in the future for a similar kind of outbreak?
We're also working with any company that is working on Ebola or vaccines against Ebola virus to see the level of development and what the potential use would be. But most of these still need a lot more work in terms of clinical trials.
Moving on to the issue of fake drugs for sale online, how are regulators tackling this problem?
We're working mainly with countries on prevention, detection and response to what we call substandard and falsified medicines, which includes, of course, fake drugs. This is about enabling regulatory capacity to be able to deal with incidences of fake or substandard medical products that they come across.
What kind of fake drugs that are most often found on the market?
We found that the medicines that are most high incidence of substandard and falsified are in the anti-infective, so the antibiotic area, and the anti-parasitic, anti-malarial. There was between 70,000 and 170,000 estimated deaths caused by substandard and falsified antibiotics, which were used by children under five with childhood pneumonia. And this was a study done by the University of Edinburgh.
How big is the market?
And we estimated, based on 100 research articles, the spending on substandard and falsified medical products in low and middle income countries was in the region of $30 billion. It's probably an underestimate because this was done on the basis of published articles, but it's clear that it is a significant problem. In terms of helping regulators to deal with this problem, and you have to understand that these are corrupt players, so they're not playing by the rules. So regulators are used to people playing by the rules. Part of it is raising awareness that there are risks and educating the regulators and the public of the potential risks of the products. We really need to ensure that it's not just the awareness at the regulatory level, but there's also awareness at a political level to translate policy into sustainable action.
I also read about complementary and alternative medicine, such as homeopathy, naturopathy. How can regulators include this type of medicine in the discussion?
Most regulatory systems do have assessment provisions for natural, for herbal and traditional medicines. But of course, the traditional medicines is different in different countries. So there's less of a harmonized international approach in this area. But we do have a forum where we bring together regulators working on traditional medicines to talk about challenges and what they can do together to address these.
How are government and medical regulators ensuring quality universal health care for all of us?
Obviously, at the moment, we're very much looking towards the WHO 13 General Programme of Work and the triple billions that we are trying to achieve. So a billion people with better health coverage, a billion people better protected from public health emergencies, and a billion more people enjoying better health and well-being. We've got about 5 or 6 indicators that we're working on to help us achieve the triple billion goals and the SDGs.
What is the biggest challenge for regulators, and what are you hoping to get from this meeting in Dublin?
One of the biggest challenges is to come up with a model that all these regulators can actually assure the safety, quality and efficacy of the products on the market. So it's looking at from development of the product through clinical trials right through to post-marketing. How can we manage the task of regulators collectively together?